Good morning. It is good to be back here at Westminster Presbyterian Church. I know some of you because I was one of the pastors here for a time, a long time ago. When I came, I was pregnant and I had a two-year-old. And those two boys are now 20 and 22, both in college, one about to graduate in just a few weeks. They grew up here. They went to Vacation Bible Camp. They went to that West Virginia mission trip and many others. And I know Jeff and I have always felt like you all were their extended family. You helped them grow up in their faith. You taught them the stories of Jesus. You embodied God's love to them. And for that, we will always be so very grateful. Well, before we turn to our scripture this morning, let's pray. Oh God, we come into this place, this sanctuary, to turn our hearts toward you. And so, Lord, as we open the scripture and seek to listen with our hearts, help us to hear whatever it is that you would have us hear and know. We pray it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we are at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And then a furious squall, or a great windstorm, came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet," or "Peace, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were terrified. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Whenever I am on an airplane, I'm hoping that it's an uneventful flight. I usually have a good book that I want to settle into. If it's a long flight, maybe a movie or two. And I'm hoping that nobody around me is sick, coughing. And I'm really hoping that there's no turbulence. I hate turbulence. Anyone relate to that? It makes me so anxious when we're cruising along at 30,000 feet and maybe I'm sleeping, reading a book, or watching a movie, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, the plane starts to move in a jarring way. It's very anxiety-provoking. Well, this is exactly what happened in our story today. It was apparently a perfect evening for sailing across to the other side of the lake. We have to assume that if it wasn't good weather conditions, they probably wouldn't have gotten in that boat in the first place. They were out on the lake, and then out of nowhere, the clouds came over, the winds picked up, and the rains descended upon the boat. And that peaceful evening came to a screeching halt. Well, you may or may not know that in the first century, people were terrified of the sea. They believed that the sea was a place of danger. This is where the sea monsters lived, the dragons even. There is a character, or a name of the legendary sea monster that's mentioned throughout the Bible on many occasions. and his name was Leviathan. They had this ancient belief in this sea monster who ruled over the sea with chaos, with terror, with destruction. All that is not of God, Leviathan ruled the waters, and they envisioned that life under the water was where the demons ruled and roamed with unharnessed power. Well, our story takes place on the Sea of Galilee, which is actually a lake. It is 8 miles long and 15 miles wide, and it's surrounded by hills, beautiful hills. But there's something about this geography, this landscape, and the water that contributes to storms coming out of nowhere, seemingly shocking and surprising everyone. The waves on this lake, still to this day, can get as big as 10 feet tall, which is really big for a lake. If we have a tropical storm off the coast of Malibu, it might make our waves really big. They might get as big as 8 feet tall. And then all the bravest surfers might try to cancel everything and flock to the beach to see these waves and maybe jump in and surf. Do we have any surfers here? I see you. Anybody related to surfers? Surfers who might want to surf these kind of waves. Well, the waves in the Sea of Galilee were even bigger than what we get here. In this story, Jesus has had a long day. It's evening. He suggests that they go to the other side of the lake. He's in the boat with his inner circle. These are his closest friends. And we know that at least four of the disciples were professional fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. So we can assume that as fishermen, they probably would have experienced a big storm or two in their day. The fact that they were terrified means this was a really big storm. And Jesus is sleeping. Well, most recently, I have been working as a hospice chaplain, and part of my work has been not just caring for patients, but also providing support to their families. And one of the questions that I would often ask is, how are you sleeping? Are you able to fall asleep? Because when we're going through a difficult or particularly stressful time, sometimes it's really hard to just lie down and fall asleep. Our sleep tells the truth about how we are. There's a popular book, I love the title, it's called Our Body Keeps the Score. It does. I heard it once said, and I find it so true, that sleep is the glue that holds us together. But when things are hard, something as seemingly simple as falling asleep can be really difficult. Well, Jesus here in our story is sound asleep, which means that he is clearly not anxious about this situation. But the disciples sure are, and so they wake him up, and they are understandably upset with him. One, he's not sharing in their collective panic about the situation. And second, he's not helping out. On a storm like this, everyone would have had a job to do. So Jesus wakes up, not because he's anxious, but because they are. And to their surprise, he speaks directly to the storm, saying, "Peace, be still." In the Greek, these words literally mean muzzle yourself. He's saying to the storm, put a muzzle on it, quiet, hush, be still. And then he asks this question, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, it's not clear if this is a rhetorical question. Is he looking for an answer? Is he scolding them? We don't know, but what we do know is that the disciples, they are speechless. They have no words. Who is this man who speaks to the storm, who speaks to the wind and the waves? Jesus doesn't pray and ask for God to help. He speaks directly to the storm himself. Jesus is the God-man. And for the disciples, this is beyond what they can take in. Well, let's talk about storms, because the good news in this story is not just that it happened, but that it happens. Going through storms is a part of the human experience. We all go through it. And storms, they come in all shapes and sizes. We, of course, have rainstorms. Not enough rainstorms here in Southern California, but we have an occasional rainstorm. There are hurricanes, tornadoes, depending on what part of the country you live in, floods. But a storm could also be something like losing your job, being diagnosed with an illness, could be the death of a loved one. It could be living through cancer treatments. A storm could be just trying to get through a really difficult class or finals. That could feel like a storm. A storm could come in the form of a divorce. It could be a crisis of faith. Churches go through seasons, highs and lows. It could be a season when it feels like there is a storm of conflict. A storm could be a difficult season of parenting or any difficult relationship. It could be dealing with addiction, chronic pain. There are all sorts of storms that come our way. Some are big, some are small, some are out there, and some are in here. And isn't it true that some of the biggest storms we face are in here? But here's the thing. Storms come, storms go. They are temporary. Their intensity doesn't last forever. Now, the image of a boat has long been a symbol for the church. Many church sanctuaries, this one included, if you look up, it looks like the hull of a boat. Because the church is intended to be a place of refuge, a place that is a sanctuary, a resting place from the storms of life. And part of the role of the church is strengthening our capacity to endure the storms of life, which is one of the reasons I chose this story for today. Well, I want to tell you two stories. The first is about a woman who I will call Edith. I met Edith because she was on hospice care nearing the end of her life, and I was her chaplain, so I went to see her from time to time. She was usually in pretty good spirits. But on this particular day, when I walked into her room, I noticed that she was a bit down. So we had some casual conversation, and after some time, she said, "Look at my foot. It's bent in a funny way. I'm frustrated, and it's not getting better. And I know I just need to trust God, but it is so hard." And then she said something that I thought was so profound. She said, "It's hard for me to stay encouraged when I have no Christian community." Edith is a lifelong Christian, and everywhere she has lived, she's been a part of a church. But as is often the case, when your health starts to fail, it gets more challenging to stay connected. So on this day, we leaned into our faith together. We prayed. We read some of the scriptures that her family had written out for her. One of them was Proverbs 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Another one was Philippians 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. We listened to one of her favorite hymns, Amazing Grace. Pulled it out on my little iPhone. We leaned together into the promises of God. Now, I think a part of her knew that her foot probably wasn't going to heal. I don't know if she knew she was on hospice care. But Edith knew, like those disciples in that boat, that she would find strength to get through her particular storm by turning toward Jesus. By turning toward him, she would have help to get through the storm of her frustration, the storm of her fear, and the storm of her despair. God does not always answer our prayers in the ways that we hope, but the promise is that God is always there to help us get through. Second story I want to tell you about comes from when I was serving at this church a number of years ago. Some of you may remember that at one point there was a very large Parkinson's disease support group. And what you may or may not know is that it wasn't started by the pastors, wasn't started by any of the staff or even the deacons or the elders. It was started by a few people who themselves were dealing with this illness. I was with one of these founders of the support group just on Friday, and we were talking about this group, and she was telling me that, as is often the case when you receive a devastating diagnosis, it takes a little time for you just yourself to come to terms with this new reality. And a lot of times people keep it quiet to themselves. They don't want anybody to know. But then after a time, people often want to turn toward other people who are going through something similar. And that's what happened here with this group. There were a few people who had been given the diagnosis. They were turning toward each other for support, and they together decided to go public and open it up so that it would be a place for anyone in the community to come and receive encouragement and support with others who were going through that illness. And so that's what they did. They had a group that met for exercise. There was a Bible study component to it. They had speakers who would come. They would eat. They would just be together. It was right across the patio in that fellowship hall. And it was huge. Sadly, it was a huge gathering of encouragement. It was a huge gathering of support. Because when you're going through something difficult, it can be really helpful to be in it with other people so you know you're not alone. This is the role of the church, to be a safe harbor, to be a sanctuary, to be a source of strength and encouragement for each other as we go through the storms of life. One of the things about storms is that they feel like they're never going to end. And we can remind each other that storms are temporary, that what we are experiencing is temporary. The situation may not change. The illness may not go away. But what we are experiencing, how we feel about it, definitely will change. So let's do that right now. Let's remind each other that this storm will pass. Turn to your neighbor and say, "This storm will pass." This storm, it will pass. It will. That is part of the good news of this story. It passed for the disciples, and it will pass for you and for me. Sometimes the circumstances don't change. But our perspective about what we are experiencing is always evolving. And the emotions that we feel about what we are experiencing, they are always changing over time. This is part of the good news of this story. This storm, it will pass. The bad news is there's likely another storm right around the corner, right? Because this is the human experience. We go through storms. Some are big, some are small, but there's no getting around it. The storms come. But in every storm that we face is the invitation to strengthen our muscles, our spiritual muscles, and turn in faith toward the one who promises to be with us in every storm. And we can do that just as Jesus did by speaking directly to the storm. Peace, be still. When you are awake at night and your mind won't quiet down, you can say to the storm within you, peace, be still. This is what I do at night. This is what I was doing at 2 a.m. last night. I speak to the storm within me. I speak to the anxiety within me, my worries, my stress, whatever it is. Peace, be still. We can turn a simple scripture like this into a breath prayer, which is really just a simple, short prayer that you say in sync with the rhythm of your breath. It's very powerful. You might inhale and say, peace, exhale, be still. And if you're really struggling, you can place one hand on your heart, one hand on your belly, and feel your breath moving inside your body. And as you place your mind on your breathing and link your breathing with a breath prayer, you might witness God slowing down your breath, calming your body, quieting your mind, anchoring you in that peace of Christ, that peace that passes understanding. Becoming people who are anchored in the peace of Christ is something that we have to practice. You might find it helpful to walk the labyrinth, which is a prayer walk. One little path goes to the center and one little path goes back out. You might walk and pray these words, peace, be still, and invite the Spirit of God to pray these words inside you. You might want to write down some of your favorite scriptures, like my friend Edith did, so that you can be reminded of what you believe and who you believe is with you. You might do what the people who started the Parkinson's support group did and try to find some other people who are going through something similar to you. We read that Jesus said to the storm, peace, be still. And the chaos of the winds died down, and there was a great calm. Friends, this is not only a promise of what God can and promises to do within us, but it's also a call to action. It's a call for us to be peacemakers in this world, to go to wherever the storms are in this world, in prayer or as we feel led in our bodies, to go and be about the work of peacemaking in all of the storms of life, storms of violence, storms of conflict, hatred, injustice, war. Jesus calls us to be about this work of building up a more peaceful world. Jesus, who we call the Prince of Peace. I don't know what kind of storm you might be in this particular season of your life, but I hope and pray that if you hear anything this morning, that you hear in this story a reminder that you are not alone. You're not alone. Jesus is with you in the boat. He's with us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.